individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call in to today's show, I have a frequent annual flyer, Mark Ross. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, Mark.
Yeah, David.
You're here on an annual basis. Why?
Because spring has sprung, the fields are plowed, and goose watch
starts.
Is going on.
So yesterday, airport graders came out and plowed the field.
Yep, that's tradition, plowing the lanes to greet the birds in the field. A few tons of grain will go down on Saturday. That's tradition also. Aquinas volunteers will come out, spread the grain, and anticipating arrival of Canada geese. That's the goose watch.
That's the first set that arrives. It takes three.
That's right. The contest takes three. Because in the past, there's been an individual that would release a goose on the field. So in order to...
It's called home field advantage, and you never caught me doing that legally. So, the Goose Watch program starts. How long has the Goose Watch program been going on?
Gee, I know it's been going on since the early 90s. You know, I started working over there at the refuge in the late 90s. And I've seen buttons back to 92. It could be before that.
What do you do at the refuge?
I'm primarily an educator. My title's wildlife biologist, but most of my duties are education and interpretation related. Besides all these birds coming in, the visitation for people for education programs is just going to explode here. School groups, hundreds.
You know, it seems like in March, every time I went over there a couple of weekends with my dog, and lots of activity going on over there already with people.
Oh, always, yes, yeah. Of course, it's a great place for people to visit. The trails are fine out there. Trails maintained by the Ski Joring Association. And just in the fields themselves, in the winter, there's 3+ miles of fine trails for winter snow sports. And just walking around.
And then last weekend, you had the Open North American. The weekend before last, rather.
Yeah, the North American, they do put a section of the trail right through the fields, which is very, very good for viewing.
A little bit, you know, and the fun part about it is part of it's in the city limits.
Yeah, 100 acres, the south 100 acres of those fields are within the city limits. The boundary runs east-west right across there, right where that log bus stop is. It runs right through there. So there's 100 acres of fields in the city limits.
The geese, any reports on where they're at?
Well, for the first time in recorded history, a Canada goose overwintered on the Chena River. Now, technically, it may be a cackling goose. In 2004, the smallest subspecies of Canada goose was designated its own species. So it's a cackling goose. It has the same characteristics and coloration of a Canada goose. It's just a bit smaller. But it appeared to be one of those. White-cheeked geese now is the common term that encompasses the Canada goose and the cackling goose. So,
what is a Canadian Canada goose?
Canada.
What is an average weight?
The birds we have up here are a small race. They're a small subspecies. 8 pounds. The birds we have are 8 pounds. Now, people from like the Midwest, they're familiar with a 15-pound Canada goose.
Wow. They don't have to fly as far.
That could be part of the strategy of the species. The smaller races are often more migratory. That holds true for the sandhill cranes. Like, we have a smaller subspecies of sandhill crane up here, too.
Oh, my goodness.
They won't show up till the very end of April, the sandhill cranes, and just a few.
So, looking at this, you're looking at April arrival times.
For different species?
And the first thing that happens is the snow bunting usually arrives. I've already seen a couple bald eagles.
Wait, hold it. What? I think I hear a snow bunt. Listen.
Mark.
Two, two, two.
No. Just because you're in a purple padded room doesn't mean you have to go purple padded nuts. Or maybe it does. Maybe it does. Yeah.
Well, nature sound and bird calls and songs are really special to me. I mean, that's one reason I'm in this field of wildlife biology.
Okay.
I was, as a young kid, I was just really attracted to and fascinated with bird sound. Not just birds, but reptiles, amphibians, sounds, nature sounds. Anyway. Well, yeah, snow bunny showed up Friday on the refuge for the first time.
Okay.
But they've been in town since they were first detected at the Mushers Hall during the North American.
Wow.
They're attracted to the straw on the ground and that sort of thing.
And bald eagles, I've seen a few bald eagles around town.
Oh, that's another anomaly this year. Christmas bird count, 25 bald eagles at the dump. That's a big record.
Are they competing with the ravens now?
Well, no, there's 1,000 ravens.
I know, but
I don't. But that's the Christmas bird count. I don't believe I'd ever had more than just a couple, one or two bald eagles.
Mm-hmm. Who does a Christmas bird count?
That's an Audubon activity. That's been going on for 120 years. Started at the turn of the 20th century. And if people want to see those numbers, Christmas bird count numbers are archived at Arctic Audubon website. You just go to Arctic Audubon. Search it, and you can pull up all those numbers from all those years in Fairbanks, which goes back to about the 60s.
Hmm. We don't see many golden eagles here in Fairbanks, do we?
Golden eagles just pass right through. They're birds of high tundra and mountains. I've never seen a bald eagle fly over Fairbanks.
You mean a golden eagle?
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, golden eagle. Sorry.
What's the golden eagle's bigger, correct?
I believe, as far as weight, they're pretty much identical in weight. Wingspan, a golden eagle, I think that's the same also.
Okay. Well, that's what, you know, Mark, that's why you're in this room. That's why you're in the seat.
Golden eagle, I mean, in appearance, is more rapacious. The head is smaller. It's more reptilian looking. The bill is smaller. Bald eagles are fish eaters. And they have that great big beak, which is much different than a golden eagle.
And population differences, I'm sure, many more bald eagles.
Yeah, since they are fish eaters.
Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Oh, sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Mark Ross, and your name is?
My name's Al.
Hello, Al.
Hey. I got a question on the bald eagles at the dump. Have you noticed any lead poisoning in any of those birds?
I'm not aware of any reports of problems with that. Yeah, I haven't heard anything regarding lead poisoning on the eagles.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about lead shot, you know, being banned on federal lands. And, you know, they attribute it to, you know, lead poisoning, especially the birds of prey. So you would think they would be in contact with the lead at the landfill.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I recovered a dead eagle in town. What's the gravel pit where people used to swim a lot? What's the name of that gravel pit by the trailer park?
Oh, Lakeview?
Lakeview Terrace, yeah. bald eagle, young bald eagle. And I looked up above the carcass, and there was a power line. It was electrocuted.
Hmm. Okay.
And if anybody finds an eagle, you turn it in, it goes right to the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Al, thank you very much for the phone call, buddy. You take care. And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. Again, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have Mark Ross in the studio with me. He's an annual frequent flyer because it is the Goose Watch program, and it's a ride of spring. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
With snow, cold temps, hanging trees, and more, it's been a busy winter for the crew at the Great Alaska Tree Company. They don't shut down because of cold and snow. And with the days getting longer, they're just getting busier. So if you find that winter has been tough on your trees, call Great Alaska Tree Company and get on the schedule now before those things leaf out in the spring. Great Alaska Tree Company can take care of it at a price you can afford. So do it now.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-470.
Every house has windows, and when you have questions about purchasing new ones, where do you go? No, you don't ask Google. And if you did, it should tell you to go ask Steve at Glass Solutions for all your window and door-related questions. Steve's Alaska's expert with more than 30 years' experience selling Artigrade windows that will last. Everyday wholesale pricing on time-tested major brands that have proven themselves at 50 below zero. Call 699-9633 and ask for Steve for your best solution at Glass Solutions.
Hello, I'm William Shatner. Blood Bank of Alaska. As the sole blood and blood product provider in the state of Alaska, BBA provides blood products to virtually every hospital in the state, including all tribal and military medical facilities. We ask that you donate today. Your blood or platelet donation can save your fellow Alaskan's life.
This message brought to you by the radio station 529 Fifth Avenue.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with snow showers likely. High temperatures reach up to 30. Winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Snow likely. Lows dip down to about 15. About an inch of snow today through tonight, with another inch tomorrow night. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mark Ross in the studio with me here from the Kramer's Field Bird Sanctuary.
Well, technically, it's the title is Migratory Waterfowl Refuge. It's a refuge. There's a neighboring sanctuary.
Okay.
Tim Cerny's Wedgwood Sanctuary, 100 okay. acres on the eastern side of the refuge.
Okay.
But Kramer's is a refuge, not a sanctuary.
State refuge?
State of Alaska, yep. Managed by Department of Fish and Game. Saved by the people of Fairbanks and the Kramer family back in 1967. Just took 1 year.
There you go.
1 year of work. And in 68, it was designated a wildlife management area.
Now, looking at when the geese arrive, you were mentioning that they, with the higher snowpack, they arrive later.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's been a trend. You can see we have we're looking at a graph from 1975 to 2023. There's a trend of earlier arrivals. And then, but the last 4 years, we've averaged 100 inches of snow the last 3 years. This year we were headed that way too, and then snow stalled out back in late January. And if weather stays cold, we're still going to have a snowpack on that field, so it could be a later a later arrival. By later, I'd say April 10 or later.
Yeah, it's usually looking at this from March 20th to the first few days of April, and
that's April 20.
We're looking at it upside down.
Prefer to look at it this way.
Well, I'm used to dates going up, not down.
Yeah.
just my personal preference, but hey. But with the more snow, the later the arrivals. Okay. So when is your official guesstimate? When do you think, Mark?
Well, as I just mentioned, if conditions stay like they are with not much melting out after April 10, but if temperatures go back up and the snowpack comes down, then there could be an arrival. It could be next week.
Yes, and today's the 3rd already. Okay. Now, how does a person get into the Goose Watch program?
You know, you ask me that every year, and I don't know. Our radio puts it on, and we both don't know. I have a huge responsibility on my shoulders to be the person that designates the touchdown of the three geese. You know,
that's an awesome burden, sir. And you do it so well every year.
I've installed microphones around the building. I got 3 microphones.
Listening device.
But I don't sleep there.
Those are listening devices.
No, I installed those as soon as I began working there because I like nature sound. And I like other people to hear and know what's going on right outside the building. But the geese usually, they arrive in the daytime. And they sound off before they land.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know how you sign up for the program. Around town, there's places to submit.
Yeah, whenever you hear the
you gotta song, go to your website.
I'm a Goose Watcher. Just listen; they'll tell you how to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's yeah. And you can't enter.
No,
that would be.
No, I'm a fish and game employee. I'm exempt.
I probably can't enter either, so because I'm part of the program here.
And the winnings is $500.
Ah, okay. Well, so the snow buntings have arrived, so some of the bald eagles. Tell us about the rough-legged hawk.
A rough-legged hawk is a large soaring hawk the size of a raven.
That's a big bird.
Yeah, they're big birds, and now this calendar we're looking at says April 6th, but I think it's usually a little bit later than that. Okay. Rough-legged hawks superficially look like red-tailed hawks, and they soar the same way, and both of those species come in usually around the middle of April, and you'll just see they'll soar right over town.
What made you choose this professional endeavor?
I grew up in the Mohawk River Valley, Mohawk River Valley, upstate New York, very rural area, small town of a few hundred people, Vernon Center. And, we had a small family farm. We raised our own beef. We had a few, 15 head of Herefords and, 30 acres of fields. And below the fields was a marsh, and on either end of that marsh, a brook and a creek flowed in and out of it. And it was very rich with wildlife, very rich habitat. So I was just drawn. It was like a magnet as a kid,
It was your own learning study area.
Yeah, And I started out with everything right at hand, of course. Reptiles and amphibians. Catching those reptiles and amphibians. And that is why I do what I do today.
Hmm. What made you come to Alaska?
Wilderness. I went to school. I started college in the Catskill Mountains area. And I spent time in the Adirondacks. Those are the mountain ranges in New York State. And I really enjoyed spending time there. And I decided, hey, let's go to the wildest place. And that's how I ended up here.
What year did you arrive?
The end of the fall of 79.
Wow. Okay. Is this where you got your degree?
Yeah, I got a 2-year degree in New York and then a bachelor's up here. Bachelor's in biological science with a lot of emphasis, wildlife emphasis, and then a teaching certificate also.
And you've been at the refuse
I've been at the Refuge since 96, but I worked all around the state while I was going to school in the commercial fish division and the sport fish division.
Okay.
Out in Bristol Bay.
You probably have the best office you could ever imagine.
Well, it's okay, but I actually share it with the cooperating nonprofits that provide lots of help and service and programs at the Refuge. So it's pretty tight quarters up there.
Okay. And what are some of the programs that, you know, start?
Well, right now, in the springtime, of course, with the wildlife coming in, especially the avian, the bird arrivals, we've got lots of education programs going on associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
I, myself, Department of Fish and Game, we have 6 weeks of visitation. You could call them field trips to the Refuge. 6 weeks, six consecutive weeks, goes through April and May. And so that'll serve, maybe 5,000 people. And as far as the Friends of Creamer's Field, they have a big calendar of events. And the big one coming up is Spring Migration Celebration. That's going to be the very end of April. And that's a different activities associated with the spring migration. And that's a fairly large program that goes on a Saturday, end of April.
The start.
Oh, and volunteers, yeah. So we have a staff of about 20, 25 people that help us out, volunteers at the Refuge.
If someone wants to volunteer to help out at the Refuge, how do they go about finding you?
Contact me,
459-7301.
Yeah, that's my phone at the Farmhouse Visitor Center.
What sort of volunteer items could happen?
Volunteer duties, visitor center staff. By the middle of May, we're going to be open 7 days a week. And so volunteers help staff that visitor center, greet visitors, share information, sell gift shop items. People can be trained and learn about the Refuge to lead walks on the Refuge. And this training will start actually tonight at Creamer's Field.
Last year during my walks, there was a lot of the, in the back marsh areas, you know, you have the boardwalks here that were under reconstruction. How's that going?
The reconstruction is going on. We've just pretty much completed the demolition phase.
Okay.
We've pulled out all of the existing damaged boardwalk, and we're currently going to start putting out finding contractors to construct that boardwalk. So the bid process is going to start up.
Okay, good. Wow, you know it's what I call a crown jewel in Fairbanks. It's one of the top two. And there's something out there for everyone, literally. Depending on the walk you want to take, the things you want to see, the things you want to experience, the time of year, there's something in that Refuge for every person who either is a resident or a visitor of Fairbanks, bar none.
Yeah, and that's why the Refuge exists today, because the public, the people of Fairbanks, realized that back in the late 60s, and I got that rolling along with the Creamer family.
There you go. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break and leave you with some Van Halen Dreams bumper music. So that's obviously from Melissa. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, state news, some commercials, some weather, and we will be back.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
CA hearing from President Biden alongside Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders announcing they've successfully negotiated with drug manufacturers to lower some drug prices.
Playing these games with patients and pricing, Big Pharma is able to charge Americans significantly higher prices and pad their profits.
Well, these two have led a push for the federal government to lower prices on critical drugs like insulin. A controversial Texas immigration law being challenged by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, Texas Solicitor General Aaron Nielsen.
What Texas has done here is they have looked at the Supreme Court's precedent, and they have tried to develop a statute that goes up to the line of Supreme Court precedent, but allows Texas to protect the border.
SB4 allows state officials to arrest, detain, and deport individuals who they suspect entered the country illegally. The Biden administration argues only the federal government has that power. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports an Anchorage lawmaker wants to impose a new bed tax on Alaska's tourist economy, arguing it would bring in a new revenue stream into the state to help pay for state services. Representative Andrew Gray of Anchorage is proposing Alaska adopt a 6% tax for tourists who rent a room in the state under 30 days. He told the House Committee and Regional Affairs Committee on Tuesday that Alaska is the only state that does not have a statewide tax. Gray says Alaska sees roughly 2.5 million tourists annually, and a 6% bed tax could generate a minimum of $18 million annually for the state. Addressing concern about the possible impacts the tax would have on Alaska's tourist economy, Gray said the 6% tax is similar to or considerably less than other states. However, Gray said he is considering amending the bill to add a tax cap of 15%, considering some municipalities like Anchorage already collect bed taxes. Additionally, Gray said he would like to make changes to the bill so Alaskan residents are exempt from the tax.
Online at
KFAR660.com. How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50/50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50/50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50/50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50/50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50/50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50/50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50/50 Fridays, brought to you by The Radio Station, your local family of radio stations.
You know that the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center prides itself in having the best qualified professional and licensed audiologists in the state. They're proud to announce the addition of Dr. Alexandria Jackson to their team. Dr. Jackson hails from Texas and is passionate about helping patients with hearing and balance dysfunction challenges, and she specializes in diagnosis of both adult and pediatric patients. She joins the experts and medical professionals at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center, where they can help you with your hearing loss. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mark Ross here. And I must say, Mark, I look forward to you every year because when you come on the show, that means it's time for spring. You know, the birds are coming back.
That's right. Yeah.
You have the equipment out yesterday, clearing off the refuge, and boom.
Yep, the lanes are plowed in those front field, in that front 100 acres. Saturday, the grain goes down. Kiwanis comes out with the kids and the trucks and spreads that grain. And snow buntings are flying around. They came in Friday. And a goose took two laps around the field a week ago. A Canada goose, yep.
Ready for a phone call?
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Bob Ross, and your name is Mark Ross. Bob Ross is a painter, that's right.
No relation to Bob Ross.
And your name is?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I have a question for Mark Ross.
You have his attention.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I got to tell your voice now. Okay, I've been wondering for years, and that, you know, like the question crosses my mind, and then I let it slip. And I thought, man, since I've got you in the studio there, I was going to ask the question, which is, has anybody been keeping track of the number of bird strikes? You know, the migratory birds are being struck by the blades of the wind farm turbines, right? And so I wonder if anybody is keeping a record of how many of those strikes are happening. Obviously, Alaska doesn't have a lot of wind generators like that, wind power generators. But, I mean, nationally, because the birds are migratory, you know, they fly from the lower 48 and Mexico and, you know, go through Canada and up into Alaska here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some come across, as you've told me before, from... even from Siberia. So anyway, my question is anybody keeping track of this?
I'm sorry I can't help you with that information, but I'm sure someone is keeping track of that. But yeah. I am not privy to that. I'm not aware of those numbers.
Yeah. You can't even think of any agency to ask? U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, maybe?
Yeah, that's always a good place to go first, Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay, I've been wondering about this for a long time. I've been aware of the activity, you know, or the problem, and so I thought I'd ask somebody that might be in the know. Well, thank you, Mark, and I've enjoyed talking with you over the years. Once in a while.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the phone call. You have a great afternoon. Yeah, so you got the Saturday, the grain comes out.
Yep, a few tons of grain, a few tons of crimped barley. Crimped meaning it won't germinate. It's just feed.
Okay.
A few tons.
So, you got another phone call. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Mark Ross, and your name is?
Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. I was wondering, years ago, people would jump out of airplanes here on Creamers Field. Do they still do that, or they quit doing that?
Yeah, that hasn't happened in quite a few decades, I believe. There hasn't been anyone doing that.
Okay, because I remember really going to Creamers Field and watch people jump out of airplanes. I thought that was exciting.
But that must have been like back in the 70s?
Yeah, around there.
Now, we had the 50th anniversary of Saving the Fields was 2017, and it did cross our mind, staff at the refuge, to have somebody jump out and parachute into the fields for the... that didn't happen, though.
Right.
Tom, thank you for the phone call. You have a great day, buddy. Appreciate the phone call.
Yep.
You know, I think risk management put the ixnay on that, just in case. What the heck? Now, when do those swans come in? And seems like we've been getting a lot more swans in Alaska over the last decade.
Yeah, swan, trumpeter swan numbers have increased greatly in the last 30 years. 30 years ago, in the spring, there'd be one or two that might show up. But around 2015, we had, it was a record high one-day count of 154. Trumpeter swans, of course, were an endangered species, close to extinction. I believe it was around 1970, there were less than, or maybe around 100 birds, 100 trumpeter swans counted, and that was excluding Alaska, and the numbers were very low. But in 2015, the continent-wide count for trumpeter swans was 60,000.
Wow. When does that...
Fish and Wildlife Service, every 5 years, has had a continent-wide count. But when the pandemic struck, the 2020 count didn't happen. So I've been waiting to see the new count, and I believe it's going to be around 100,000 now.
When did they start coming in?
They come in early. In fact, trumpeter swans have beat Canada geese to the fields a couple times in the last 10 years. So they could also be coming in at any time. Often they'll be on the Chena, before they touch down on the field.
What's the size of that bird?
Trumpeter swan is one, could be the world's heaviest flying bird. A big cob, a male trumpeter swan, could approach 40, could be 40 pounds with a wingspan of 8 feet. So
that's a big bird.
I believe there's only one other bird that rivals it in weight. I believe the name is Bustard, a type of a raptorial bird, I believe.
Okay.
But trumpeter swan, yeah, big, big birds.
When do the sandhills start?
Don't you want to ask me what they sound like?
No, but you go ahead and tell us.
Okay, I'm going to do my best trumpeter swan. Oh, it's a beautiful sound.
Yeah. I forget that you're an expert on that. You know, I'm trying to get the information out of you. And I keep
But that is important information. People need to come out, hear those sounds. The sounds and sights.
Mark, if it's important for you, it's important for me.
Okay.
when I'm done with the next question, you'll give us the call of the when does the cranes arrive?
Cranes, end of April. End of April. The very earliest would be, say, Earth Day, April 22, but the majority of them, very end of the month, beginning of May. Now, last year was an anomaly. The snowpack went right through to the end of May, and we had, for the first time, possibly in history of the refuge, that cranes were just backed up in the fields in middle of May. We had maybe 300 cranes. Usually there's just a handful of cranes, 10 cranes, and they just go right through their nesting ground, but they were held up. 300 cranes were in the fields last middle of May.
Last year was a late spring. So what does the sandhill crane sound like?
Okay, it's tough to do a sandhill crane. Wow.
You tell me that now?
But it's a little bit richer than that. But sometimes it sounds really wooden and rattly.
Mm-hmm.
But on the nesting grounds, the call of the male and the female together is a very beautiful sound in the morning, a big trumpeting sound. They do it together, and it's, you know, I'm only one person, so I can't do the duet.
When do the
unless you want to accompany me.
I just ruin it for everyone. When do the mallards come in?
The mallards, there's been 500 to 600 of them here all winter. So when that grain goes down on Saturday, there's going to be flocks of mallards flying around, and they're the town mallards.
Okay.
If they weren't being fed on the China, there would be 100 birds. The river can support 100. The open water, the warm effluent from the power plant can support 100, but with the supplemental feeding, there's now 500 to 600.
When does the migration of mallards come in?
Well, the first of the migratory ducks we see are pintails.
Yeah.
Pintails, and mallards will come in about that same time, and I believe that's right around April 15 or a little bit later. But the pintails are the first, what I take to be the first wild flocks coming in.
And it always seems like they're the last ones to leave, too.
Pintails?
No, the mallards.
Well, yeah, they stay in town.
No.
There's 500 of them.
The migratory ones. When I go duck hunting, the last birds out are the mallards.
Okay, I'm not a waterfowl hunter. Okay, so you're pretty knowledgeable about that. All right.
Pintails. They're good birds too. They are. Yeah. Mallards are always, you know, the greenheads. Boy, something else. Beautiful bird. It's interesting how over the last 15, 20 years, the population in town over the winter has increased with what you said, the feeding of it. And that's illegal, isn't it?
You know, I really haven't. I'd rather not comment on that.
Okay.
I'm.
Can you do the call of a mallard? Hey, you're the one who brought it up. Don't
putting yourself on the spot.
Don't go silent on me now, Mark.
You're putting yourself on the spot because you're a duck hunter, and so you probably can do the call very well. And that's why you brought this up. Go ahead, David. Give us a mallard.
Quack quack.
No, you can't. Don't you do the feeding?
Don't make me go Daffy Duck on you. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
Nick Parsifics, yeah, count on six Robleys, yeah, where we keep the wheels turning.
Whoa, what are you doing?
I'm doing the six Robleys jingle.
Dude, no, stop doing that. Leave it to the pros.
Oh, you mean the pros at six Robleys? Because when it comes to trailer parts and heavy truck parts, even RV parts, six Robleys are the pros.
Well, I was talking about the singing, but yeah, sure.
Well, it does make more sense.
Six Robleys, we keep the wheels.
Thought I did pretty good.
KFAR weather.
Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise overcast. Highs level off around 30. Southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast skies again tonight. Snow likely. Lows level off around 15. About an inch of snow today through tonight with another inch tomorrow night. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Mark Ross in the studio with me, which means...
It's time for the Goose Watch.
Which means... It's springtime.
Oh, that's right, yeah, it's springtime.
Now, you have a really interesting migratory bird that's coming in, and that's the Myrtle Warbler. What is that?
Myrtle warbler. You know, warblers are small songbirds.
Okay.
Known for their color. They're often colorful birds and with pleasant songs. And myrtle warbler is the common name for the eastern race of the yellow-rumped warbler. And we get that eastern race of the yellow-rumped warbler, commonly known as myrtle warbler. Warbler songs are usually fast, a pretty high trill. Myrtle warblers are a little more relaxed. I think of it as the lazy summer song, and it's one of the first warblers that shows up.
Okay. And near the end of the month, we get the green-winged teal.
Little duck.
Yeah.
Little dab, smallest as a dabbling duck.
Small and fast.
Oh, man, they come in like rockets.
Yeah. Yeah.
See that? That's the wind going through the feathers.
And they do it well. I mean, that's a fast duck. And then right after that, what is a varied thrush?
Thrushes are songbirds, robin-sized birds, and a robin is a thrush. And the varied thrush has the appearance, the general appearance of a robin also. It's got orangish color on it. But it's more a bird of the deep forest, deep boreal forest.
You know,
a lot of people will recognize this. The ringing, wavering, warbling song of it.
Okay. I have a bird feeder. At my house. Is there a type of bird feed that you would recommend?
Well, I stop feeding the birds now. During the winter, I feel, you know, black sunflower seeds and natural peanut butter.
Yeah.
But this time of the year, nesting is going to start in full force real soon. And, you know, the birds come up here, those songbirds come up here for protein.
Yeah.
Which is animal protein, insects and arthropods, invertebrates.
The way I look at it, I give them the appetizer, and they keep the mosquitoes away, which are the which is their entrees.
Yes, there are some aerial songbirds that'll feed a lot on the mosquitoes, like the swallows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why I sort of prime the well, get them going. But goodness, so what is a northern pintail?
Well, that's the full common name for the pintail duck.
Okay.
Yep, and they're the first. I consider them the first. Those are the first flocks of the wild ducks that come in. The mallards we see initially are all those town mallards have been in here all winter.
And then the seagulls come in the middle of.
Whoa! The gull apocalypse.
Yes.
They'll just show up hundreds, and that's a phenomenon that started maybe 15 years ago. It's probably somehow associated with the dumps.
They fight with the ravens.
Well, they just come in a huge flock, and they sit down at the fields for a week or so.
Yeah, I enjoy walking along the downtown Chena Riverwalk. There, there at the Morris Thompson Center, and there's always gulls there that are nesting. And, you know, you get near them, and, oh, man, they're up there flying around you, you know, letting you know, keep going, move out of here.
Yeah, those are probably the smaller gulls. Herring gulls are great big gulls, like the size of a raven, but those are probably the smaller mule gull, whose the common name's now changed to short-billed gull.
Okay. So
I'm not sure where the herring gulls nest, but mule gulls nest. They are short-billed gulls nest around town, on the ground, around some gravel areas.
It seems like mid-August the out-migration happens.
Yeah, it happens fast with songbirds. It goes fast.
And then your cranes go, and then your geese go, and then your ducks go.
Yep, you got it. That's pretty much the
and then they're all going,
the way it goes.
Except for your local river mallards.
That's when it's time to get your bird feeder up and get the year-round residents, the chickadees and red poles and nuthatches.
Okay.
And install a little microphone outside with a speaker inside. It really heightens your awareness of what's going on.
How many people visit the refuge on an annual basis?
It's very hard to keep track of because you know there's a few different entrances and areas. In the past, I've estimated between 80,000 and 100,000 people, and it's just it's increasing. I mean, winter visitation is really increasing. People coming up for aurora viewing and that sort of thing. Winter sports.
Okay. All right. How could it not be a year-round destination? Because it's no matter what time you go there, there's something to see or to experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Winter time's great. Great trails. It's a good aurora viewing spot. And, you know, the visitor center, nature center's open.
Well, it starts, Mark. It starts. Summer will be soon because
it's rolling.
Spring is here.
The light is coming back.
Yesterday was a pretty crisp day, but what the heck?
This morning was cooler than yesterday morning.
Really?
Yeah, it was 6 above at the refuge this morning. Yesterday was 9 above. But according to the forecast, the warm weather's coming back. And with that, the winged visitors will be coming in, too.
So, no over-under date on when the third goose arrives? What's your guesstimate?
April 10. We
1 week from today?
Mm-hmm. Three geese on the ground. That's my guess.
Where do you have your microphones at to hear them? Your listening devices.
They're just hanging on the side of the farmhouse visitor center.
Okay.
One on the south side, two on the west side. And
then you pick them up.
Oh, easily, yeah. Yeah. It picks up sound half mile away. Yeah, I can, when swan migration in the fall, I can hear the swans coming sometimes close to a mile away. Tundra swans, they're much more vocal than trumpeter swans.
What's the difference between a tundra swan and a trumpeter?
About 20% larger in size. The trumpeter's that much bigger.
Wow.
I mean, a tundra swan looks big until a trumpeter's next to it. But tundras are rare visiting the refuge.
How many different types of cranes do we get?
There's just one North American species, sandhill crane.
Okay.
And we get the smaller race, the smaller subspecies that comes through.
And
people are familiar with the name whooping crane,
mm-hmm.
the very large white cranes of North America. But they summer in the Northwest Territories. Only one place where they're nesting, in Buffalo. I believe it's titled Buffalo National Park in Canada. Northwest Territory.
What bird arrives in Fairbanks at Kramer's Field with the farthest migration?
Oh, geez, farthest migration. You know, I'm not really good with the shore birds. There are some birds coming from Asia. A songbird, I believe wheat ears are coming from far east or far western Asia. They fly over the Sahara Desert and they end up in interior Alaska, so that's a long one. Well, sandhill cranes have a long migration. Some are coming from Mexico and they end up in 1,000 miles deep in Arctic Siberia. There's about 1 million sandhill cranes. They've counted 1 million in Nebraska. They just left. They just left the Platte River a couple days ago.
They're on their way.
1 million of them. Nearly half of that 1 million comes across the Alaska border, that mid-continent population of sandhill cranes, and 100,000 of them continue deep into Arctic Siberia. So that's
a heck of a migration.
That's a big international migration by the crane nation that knows no geographic boundaries.
Apparently, you know, like Mexico, U.S., Canada, Alaska, Siberia, Russia.
Yep. Oh, deep into Siberia, 1,000 miles, 100,000 of them.
Well, Mark, we got about a minute left, sir. How do you want to end it?
I want to say get out and, I mean, spring tradition. Get out and appreciate it. Get out to Kramer's Field. Those snow buntings, maybe they're only going to be around for 10 more days. And in that 10 days, there's going to be some waterfowl coming in. There's going to be some geese. Get out. Listen to the sounds. See the sights. Come visit me at the farmhouse. Help me out. We can use volunteers.
And, hey, bring out, you know, have your binoculars in your car. Sit there at the parking lot. Take a good look.
Yeah, sure, you can use the binoculars, but use your eyes first. Eyes and ears. And get out of the car. Turn your engine off, get out of the car, and take it in.
Take the walk.
Yeah, you can walk too, like David. Mm-hmm. David walks there.
I see you there a lot.
Yeah.
Funnier than heck. I also see you at Fred Meyer's a lot. I've ran across you at Birch Hill a few times too.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a stalker of mine?
Are you a stalker of me?
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, Mark, always appreciate this this time we have together again. It just means one good thing. Winter's over. Spring is here. You have a great day. Fairbanks, I will see you on Friday. And 3 o'clock on Lacey Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. Hey, we're having a little celebration to knock down the Polaris building. Come on out, and we'll see you there.
All right.